Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number
97. Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, Cleveland. Welcome to the 55th episode of the 1085 Gridiron Podcast. I am your host, Andrew Jokey. And as always, joined by my co-host, Jack McCurry of the NorthCoastSports.com website. How are you doing today, Jack?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you?
Doing pretty well. This episode, we don't really have much Browns news to talk about. So we're just going to give you, it's going to be a full prospect episode. Be going over 12 guys in this year's draft, and you know, we're getting closer and closer to that 100 names that we said that we get to. I of course lost the list that I had of everyone that we've done so far, so I had some fun time figuring out who we haven't done yet. Thankfully Jack keeps me in line like he always does and was able to tell me who we did and who we didn't do yet. So we have 12 guys that we'll be discussing, six offensive tackles and six defensive ends, right?
Linebackers. No, linebackers in general.
Just linebackers. All right. Inside and outside. See, I couldn't do this without Jack. If I did, it'd be terrible. So that's why he's here. Keep me in line. I guess we could start here. We'll waste 2 minutes on it, maybe. Apparently today, Odell Beckham was seen catching footballs from an unnoticed or unnamed quarterback. I don't think we know who was throwing the balls, but we could probably guess. He was at UCLA, and in the one picture of him catching the footballs, and I want to know who found this to begin with, but if you zoom in on the football, there's a Cleveland Browns logo on said football. Is there anything to make of that at all, or did the Browns just leave a couple footballs behind at UCLA at Rosen's Pro Day, and that was it?
I think it's honestly just, the Browns, when they have to do these private workouts, they have to go to the respective colleges of that quarterback or whoever the player is. And I think it was just a case of they left the footballs there. And I would imagine Beckham's probably getting the ball thrown, not by Josh Rosen, like some people are suggesting, but by Jared Goff. I heard there was a rumor of Jared Goff and Odell Beckham working out together. I could be wrong on that, but it also could be Josh Rosen. So, and Rosen just did a workout, I think last week or 2 weeks ago with the Browns. So maybe the Browns left some extra footballs laying around. And I know the Browns fan base is getting excited because we've been rumored and, there's odds in Vegas that connecting the Browns with Odell Beckham, but I don't see the Browns making a play for him just because we're already, and we talked about this on the last episode, committing so much money to Jarvis Landry. A Josh Gordon extension could be on the table at some point this season if things go well. And I just don't think you commit that much money to a group like a wide receiver group. You commit that money to an offensive line or the pass rushers or a quarterback. Wide receiver isn't one of the most important positions on the field, in my opinion, when it comes to building a football team. It's important, but it's not that important. So I just think this was just something overblown. People call me negative about it, but, I'm just giving you my honest opinion on it. And I just think it's a overblown situation.
There is one other news item that we'll briefly discuss, and I would say it kind of affects the Browns. And speaking of wide receivers, the New England Patriots traded Brandon Cooks to the LA Rams for a first-round pick. So right now the Patriots are sitting there with picks 23 and 31. in the latter part of the first round there. Do you see them acquiring another first round pick, throwing off the Browns' plans at 33 and 35?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, but you know, it was an interesting rumor right after the Cooks trade went down from Benjamin Albright, who said that he heard that the Patriots are interested in Josh Rosen. Of course, we don't know what how long Tom Brady's got left. I would imagine the way he played last year that he's still got a couple good seasons left in him. Do the Patriots want to draft a guy like Rosen, who's already, I think, 22, 23 years old, and have him sit behind Brady for 2 years? Or maybe they move up and take a Josh Allen and know that he's a project and he can't afford to sit 2 years. You know, it could be interesting. You know, the Patriots now have double ones and double twos. So, you know, like the Browns, they kind of hold some of the cards of the draft. So it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do. They're always the unpredictable team. You never know what to expect out of Bill Belichick and company up there. It's very interesting that they parted ways with Cook. I know there's been extension talks and they fell apart, so they made this move. But do I think they could add another first round pick and hamper what the Browns could do? I don't think so. I think if anything, they might move up and target a player that they would don't see getting to 23 or 31 that they want to go up into the teens to get.
All right, put on your John Dorsey hat for a minute. If you're Dorsey and the Patriots come calling, would you trade number four? Say they want Josh Allen or any of the quarterbacks that's there at number four. Would you trade number four for 23, 31, those 2 second rounders? And would you need more than that?
Ugh. Well, if I was John Dorsey, I probably wouldn't, because there's players in the top 10 that I absolutely love and would want to get with that fourth pick, whether it's a Bradley Chubb or a Denzel Ward or even a Saquon Barkley if they choose to go that route. I don't think they will, but I would much rather, just because we have 3 second-round picks already and, you know, I don't see us carrying a lot of rookies unless we use those extra assets to move back up in the first round. I would prefer to stay at four. If we're going to move down, I wouldn't mind moving down, you know, swapping picks with Denver, moving down a little bit if Buffalo moves up into the top 10 with another trade. I just don't want us to plummet down, because we've traded down significantly a couple times and it's come back to bite us. So I would prefer to stay at four in that scenario.
Well, I could definitely see, you know, trading down from, you know, we've gotten bit by trading down before, but at this point, you still are getting the best quarterback in the draft, and still 2 more first rounders. If you traded with New England or you trade with Buffalo and are able to get those 2 firsts, I'm definitely open to the Buffalo trade. I think 21 would be too far, or 23 would be too far, to trade down with New England. But if they could manage to get 12 and 22 from Buffalo, I'm all for it. You have more than enough assets to move back up in the top 10 if you really wanted to, and you can still add another first. I would be all for it. But, you know, that remains to be seen, and it perfectly transitions us into our draft talk, because, you know, if they are able to trade down and pick up another first or get those 2 firsts, that 12 and 22, they trade down with New England and pick up 23 and 31, you know, I would imagine that would be the range that I think the first offensive tackle is going to go. So we'll completely transition into the offensive tackles that we're going to discuss. Now, I don't think any of these guys that we'll discuss are going to go in that range, but you know, there's a different possibility. So let's start with the guy who has a first, second round grade on him, and that is the massive tackle out of UCLA, Colton Miller, 6'9", 309. He put up 24 reps on the bench press. This is a big dude. And, you know, when it comes to offensive linemen, you know, you want a left tackle, he's your You know, these are your guys. You want the real big guys. So give us the rundown on Colton Miller.
Well, he's very raw as a tackle prospect, but, you know, seeing him his junior year at UCLA, he did make some progress from what he was as a freshman and a sophomore. He was limited those first couple of years, but, you know, he stepped in on an offensive line that was really pretty good in the Pac-12. You know, they were top 10 offense all in FBS, but, you know, he anchored that offensive line, you know, to keep Josh Rosen upright for the most part. You know, Rosen did suffer some concussions, not all on the offensive line, but, you know, there is some inconsistency to his game. Like I said, he is raw. He forgets his feet at contact, which is allowing rushers to blow by him. And, you know, feet are very important in an offensive lineman, especially in today's game with these elite quick pass rushers. So Miller at the next level is definitely going to learn how to set his feet, have some, and try to quicken them some way. You know, with a big frame, it's hard to do, much like an Orlando Brown. So it'll be interesting to see what Miller can do, but he does have some upside to his game. They're comparing him to a Havenstein. But at this point, Miller would probably be best suited as a right tackle because I think he's a liability on the left side. Much like an Orlando Brown, I think those guys are both at the same because they're the same frame somewhat. Brown is obviously a little bit bigger weight-wise and size-wise. But I think Miller does have a chance in the NFL, but I think he's more best suited at a right tackle position.
You know, there's a, you know, we just talked about the massive size of Colton Miller. You know, the next guy we're going to discuss is, I might butcher his first name, Martinez Rankin.
Yeah, that's exactly. You're good.
Out of Mississippi State. You know, a lot of these guys are 6'7", 6'8", in that range. Rankin's only 6'4". He still put up 24 reps on the bench. You know, want to give us the rank down or the rank down. My goodness. The breakdown on Rankin.
Yeah. You know, very good. You know, he's very versatile as a offensive lineman. They, you know, they project him to be a tackle, but he has a skill set where he can slide in and play guard and center. You know, not comparing him to the player Cam Irving, but to, you know, Cam Irving was a versatile offensive lineman coming out of Florida State, and Rankin brings that to the table as well. You know, being a first team, all SEC offensive linemen says something to me about Rankin's talent because you've seen what the defenses in that SEC conference are like. And to be a first team offensive lineman, that's definitely saying something. And I think it earns respect from NFL scouts. You know, I went back and was watching some of his tape and went back to watch some. He played against Miles Garrett in 2016 when Mississippi State played Texas A&M, and he held his own for the most part against Garrett, who obviously was the number one pick last year, is a core part of the Browns' future. He doesn't have a dominant trait. He's just good all around at everything. So, you know, that's good for him. He's not elite offensive tackle, and I think that's why he's projected second or third round. But I think he can definitely come in and compete with Sean Coleman if the Browns were to take him with one of their second round picks. He, you know, they said he doesn't have elite length or movement skills, which is going to be tough. That's the one thing I see about these offensive linemen. They're not quick. You know, but you're not expecting linemen to be super quick, but you need them to be quick enough to stop these pass rushers because the pass rushers are getting faster. And if an offensive tackle can't stop them, then it's going to be a nightmare for quarterbacks going forward.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I can't tell you. I sound like a broken record at this point. I should just put it on the soundboard. You never have enough pass rushers. And, you know, in today's NFL, you know, pass rushers are a prime commodity. And, you know, that's why you have to have good offensive linemen. If your lineman is not able to block these pass rushers, you're going to get killed. You know, that's what the Denver Broncos did in the Super Bowl. You know, they rushed the other team to death, and that's the defense is why they won the Super Bowl. The next guy we're going to talk about is a guy out of Pittsburgh, one of Pat Narduzzi's kids. I love Pat Narduzzi. I think he's going to be a phenomenal college coach. I love his defense. Just sidetrack a little bit. When I was coaching, that's some of the stuff I was studying, and what he does is really good. And he always has his guys to play. That's for sure. And we saw that when he was at Michigan State, what his defense is always in the Buckeyes. So you would think, Brian O'Neill going up against Narduzzi's defense every day in practice. I'm sure he learned quite a bit. And O'Neill's a 3-year starter. He has a very nice frame on him. I lost my train of thought. I was going and I lost my train of thought. Dane Brugler. Mentioned that his frame might be maxed out, but he's got a good frame, I think. And watching some of his stuff, he does very well against two rushers at the same time. I watched some of his highlights against Syracuse, and taking on two guys at once is not an easy task. And when you're able to do that, we see Joe Thomas all the time go up against two guys. I have two guys coming at him. He'll block one, quickly block the other, and it saves a sack or saves your running back from getting hit. So, I think Brian O'Neill could definitely be a good left tackle. He's looking to slide into that late second, early third of round range. So, there's a that could be a possibility. It's kind of a project left tackle. The next guy we're going to discuss is Jamarco Jones out of Ohio State, who we're obviously all very familiar with. You want to give us a rundown on Jamarco Jones?
Yeah, definitely. Looking at scouting report, the first thing that caught my eye was that he's compared to Sean Coleman, who right now is our projected left tackle for the 2018 season. It'll be interesting to see how he transitions back to left tackle after transitioning to right tackle coming out of Auburn. But, the one thing that stands out, I said that offensive linemen need to have quick feet. Jamarco Jones, that's his first strength. Athletic feet and pass pro and reacts to the movement. Good side-to-side movement, which is also very good when it comes to offensive tackles. He's not a dominating blocker. The thing is with offensive tackles, and I remember Joe Thomas saying this last year, it takes time for these guys to develop. You don't find guys like Joe Thomas that come in from day one and are able just to be a dominant offensive lineman right from the start. It doesn't happen anymore. I don't know if it's obviously a negative on college football, because there was always great offensive tackles coming out, and now a lot of these guys are just projects. And Jones is clearly going to be that. He does have the athleticism that where he could kick in and play guard if needed. But I think he is a tackle in the NFL. It's going to take some time, obviously, he's not going to be a day one starter. Needs to work on his technique and his strength. And watching him at Ohio State, and they have produced some good offensive linemen the last several years, Andrew Norwell, and Jack Muhort. So I think Jones, give him a couple years, can slide into that role or slide in and play offensive tackle down the line. I just don't see him as a day one guy like a Joe Thomas.
Yeah, I think, from now on, it's going to be hard. You mentioned Joe talking about a little bit. It's going to be hard to find a guy coming out of college that's as good as Joe Thomas was coming out of college. Although there might be another kid from Wisconsin coming out next year who could fit that bill. I remember Joe, and I think we discussed this before, but I remember Joe Thomas talking about Cam Irving after Irving got traded, and about how, with all the spread offenses in college football, it takes 3-4 years to figure out what you really have in an offensive lineman. And I think that's why recently in free agency, you've seen these offensive linemen be able to cash in, because you're able to find out what they really are after their rookie contract. You can see them develop, you can see what skills they actually have. And, you don't always see that in college with all the spread offense that's going on. So, that's why it's a little leery looking at these tackles in the first round here. But, there's obviously some guys that will be able to come in and, work right away, start day one. I think it's going to be rare from now on. But, I think there's a potential of maybe a couple guys in this draft that could do it. Next guy we're going to talk about is one of the Division II guys, Alex Kappa, from Humboldt State. Hopefully that's correct. Humboldt, yeah. This is a guy who's a bigger guy. He's got a nice frame on him. Watching some of the stuff, he's a very good run blocker. He's just bullying people around. You want to give us the lowdown here on Alex Kappa?
Yeah, definitely. Small school guy, turned heads at the Senior Bowl when he got invited down there. Showed that he had good movement skills and a passion for finishing the snap, no matter what, if he was getting beat or not. Does have some technique issues again, and he showed against some of the top pass rushers down there in Mobile. But he's aggressive, the comparison, and it's another former Brown, Garrett Gilkey, who we drafted in 2013. And I had the honor of meeting him at training camp 5 years ago. Very nice guy. Took the time to talk to me for a couple minutes. He was a small school guy at Ashadron State and, found his way onto an NFL roster as a late round pick, hung around for a couple years until I think a knee injury. They're comparing Kappa to that him. Good frame, 6'6", 305. Think much like Jamarco Jones and some of these other guys, he could slide in and play guard if needed. Doesn't have the physicality, though. So, or no, he does. I'm reading this wrong. I'm sorry. He does possess the physicality to play inside, could play outside, but like a lot of these guys, does need time to develop.
Oh, the last guy we were discussing, it's not really on the covers that we have done, we don't really discuss the late rounders much. But, there's an offensive tackle that I believe caught your friend's eye, who I think is a Bills fan, and he wants them to draft him. So, you suggested to me. I'm like, sure, why not? Brett Toth, whatever. Do you want to give us a rundown on Toth and tell us why your friend loves him so much?
Well, he loves him because he's a military guy. My buddy's in the military and watched a lot of Army and was very impressed with Toth. But he was in the All-Star games after the season was over, had impressive games, got to go to the Senior Bowl. Could be drafted in the mid rounds, but he has to serve his 2-year commitment to the military. So that's probably going to drop his stock, but good frame, good athlete as an offensive lineman, can be a starter down the line, much like these other guys. But with that, he has to go serve his military time. So that might draw some teams away. It didn't stop the Steelers from picking up Alejandro Villanueva, who's turned into a Pro Bowl left tackle for them. If the Browns love a guy like Toth and they are willing to wait on him, given he has to take a 2-year commitment to serve his country, which I have no problem with that. Proud of the veterans and all the guys in the military. If the Browns were to take a chance on Toth in the 4th or 5th round, I would love it. My buddy seems like he's going to be a good left tackle in this league, and I would have no problem drafting him in the middle rounds.
Well, there should be no question if he's a good run blocker or not, because that's pretty much all Army does is run the football. So I would imagine he's pretty good at that. Maybe, he can turn out to be a right tackle more than a left tackle based on that run blocking that he does possess. When you lose a Hall of Famer at left tackle, it's very hard to replace him. Or even think about replacing them. you know, they haven't signed anybody, to my knowledge, left to play left tackle this offseason. You know, I would imagine they expect Sean Coleman and Spencer Drago to compete for that spot. I don't know if they're going to draft a rookie. If they do, like we mentioned, it's going to be very hard for them to start week one. You know, I guess there's always a possibility of a trade. You know, we just got done discussing that, you know, it takes 3 or 4 years for these offensive linemen to develop in the NFL. Maybe there's a guy that they see, you know, that could come in and maybe step in for a year or two until they're able to find a top-tier guy. And, you know, with having so many draft picks, I definitely think that could be a possibility. You know, we've gone through pretty much every left tackle now in the draft.
Do you leftovers or the DMV
number 97
or house cleaning? Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. You see one in this draft that's worthy of a first round pick and B, worthy of you know, the Browns taking a chance on him and thinking he could be the guy for 10 years or so.
Out of all these guys that we've talked about throughout the previous episodes, McGlinchey seems like the one, and I think Connor Williams are both, they're both first round talents. Williams is questionable because hearing a lot of people say he's a guard at the next level, which we don't need guards. We got Petonio and Zeitler. I would take McGlinchey. I don't know if he's going to be there for us at 33. It could be a scenario where the Browns have to move up, or unless they move that fourth pick and move down, he could be there for us in the middle first round. That would be the guy I would get if we don't move down and we can't get one of these guys at 33. You know, you look at Rankin. Obviously, I love Tyrell Crosby out of Oregon. Wouldn't mind taking him with one of our second round picks. Or, you know, waiting to the bottom of the second round, getting O'Neal or Okafor, or waiting till later on and picking up a guy like Jamarco Jones or Brett Toth. I mean, there's a few tackles in this draft I really like. I don't, like I said, Williams and McGlinchey, I think, will go in the first round. Hopefully one of them slides down to 33, if not move up, or if not take one of these other guys in the later rounds.
Let's shift over to defense now. We discussed that we have six linebackers that we're going to talk about. You know, we're finally getting into some of the top tier talent of this draft. You know, we've been purposely waiting as we got closer to the draft to do some of the top tier talent. So one of the guys we're going to discuss is from Iowa. You know, Big Ten. You expect there to be good linebackers. You know, an inside guy, Josie Jewell. I hope I said that right, the last name. If you guys haven't learned by now, I'm terrible with names. So when I butcher one, just ignore it and move on. So, you know, Josie is obviously a Big Ten linebacker. You know, you expect him to be good. What can you, or what can we expect from Josie if he were to come to the Browns?
Well, like you said, Iowa, they produce some pretty good linebackers. Big Ten produces linebackers all the time. He's got the size. He's definitely got the strength to play. The one thing I love, Ben Prugler's scouting report, his eyes are glued on the ball. So he knows, you know, he knows who's got the ball in their hand, and he goes after them, and he makes tackles. Led the Big Ten in tackles his senior season. You know, that's – He's a great leader. He, you know, he just finds a knack to get after the ball carrier. And that's what, you know, the Browns linebackers are pretty good, I would say, Kirksey, Schobert, and Collins. But, you know, we need depth definitely at that position. I think we need better coaching, but that's a topic for another day. But, you know, Jewell would be a great pick in the middle rounds. Obviously, him and Kirksey, they can they have a little bit of chemistry, or little, they might know each other a little bit because he was there in 2013, but he was a red shirt, so it's unknown how much him and Kirksey talked while the two were together in Iowa. But I'm sure, you know, Kirksey's probably reached out to him at some point. But great linebacker, obviously all Big Ten first team. He won the Lott Impact Award. He was the Defensive Player of the Year. So, I mean, that when you're the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, I'm sure scouts and coaches definitely look at that and, you know, mark that off as a guy that to keep your eye on, because, like I said, the Big Ten has produced a ton of linebackers and over the last couple of years and have been very productive.
Well, not just the last couple of years, but, you know, in history. That's why they call Penn State Linebacker U. I mean, they seem to put out these guys that, you know, just are physical freaks. And, you know, this, the whole Big Ten is a different style of football compared to the rest of the NCAA. So, you know, you always expect the linebackers to be good, and you always expect the offensive linemen to be good as well. The next guy we're going to talk about who has a definite potential to go in the later first round, and that is out of Boise State, Leighton Vander Esch. I hope I, like I said, don't mind me and butchering names. But you want to give us the lowdown here on Leighton?
Yeah, definitely. I've been mocking him to the Pittsburgh Steelers in my last few mocks, if anybody hasn't checked them out. Vander Esch.
Thank you for not mocking a Buckeye to them, because they seem to do that every year, but carry on.
Yeah, but Vander Esch is, you know, he is kind of in the same mold as a Ryan Shazier. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's athletic, and he just makes plays all over the place. Seeing Brugler's comparison, he compares him to a Brian Urlacher, which, you know, he's going in the Hall of Fame this year, one of the best linebackers to ever play the game. Vander Esch, you know, I don't know how much of an unknown commodity he was going into the 2017 season, but I think after the college football season, everybody knew who he was. If you're a college football fan, was all over the field at Boise State, was dominated, made plays all the time. And I think at the next level, he gets to the right situation, which, if I'm going to Pittsburgh, you know, we all know what they could do with linebackers, obviously. You know, he's an athletic freak, and that's what they've seemed to be drafting over the years with Bud Dupree, Ryan Shazier, Jarvis Jones. It's, you know, Vander Esch would join that group of guys, and I think he would be an impact player from day one.
One of the next guys we're going to discuss is Blake Jefferson out of Texas. You know, Texas isn't always known for their defense, but, you know, once, you know, every now and then they seem to have a rare guy come in and play very well on defense. Tell me about Malik Jefferson.
Explosive athlete. Mike Vander Esch gets all over the field, makes plays day in and or game in and game out. Was, you know, he was Big 10 or Big 12 freshman of the year. Had some dominant seasons after that, you know. This past season, won Defensive Player of the Year, finds a knack to get the ball carrier in the backfield for tackles for a loss. You know, Big 12 is not known for their defensive players, but I think Jefferson can definitely play, and he's proved that. He's gotten better every year down in Texas. He has some injury concerns. Had a turf toe injury, which caused him to miss a bowl game. He's had a concussion, and he had an ankle injury, but, you know, he can run all over the field, make a lot of plays. Doesn't have good instincts, though, and he's inconsistent with his vision, which is very, you know, it's a red flag for a linebacker, because you got to have good vision to see where the ball is going to be at. But I think with good coaching, which he's not going to get it here, I'm just going to be flat out honest, he's going to be a good player, I think, at the next level. But, you know, it's funny because last night I did a mock draft on FanSpeak, and I had he fell to the Browns. I think he's probably going to go late first round, but he fell to the Browns at 33, and I took him because he's the best player on the board. So Jefferson's a good player. If he falls to 33 or 35, the Browns should take him, regardless of who the linebacker coach is. But just a freak athlete, and I think he's going to be a dominator at the next level.
Well, the Browns traded Deshaun Kizer in the offseason, but they could pick up another Kizer, and that would be Micah Kizer out of Virginia. Seamless transition, I know. Tell me about Micah Kizer and what he could bring to the Browns.
He's probably going to be a middle linebacker at the next level. We have, obviously, Joe Schobert right now, but he's physical and he's fast, and he fits the mold of what a linebacker should be at today's NFL. It's the athleticism on these guys are unbelievable compared to what they were about 10 years ago. That they just seem to get stronger and faster each and every year coming out of college. But he finds a hole, gets to it, gets the ball carrier, and great tackler. He's smart, and he all ACC honors. He's just a dominator. Led the conference in tackles at 134. Had 10 tackles for a loss his junior year, and also had interceptions and 8 pass deflections. So, being that middle linebacker, if he has to drop back into coverage, he seems he can do that at the next level because he's shown it in college. Just a guy that, the Browns could target with one of their second-round picks. I would draft a linebacker. It seems like there is a deep class of linebacker if they can find guys, to bolster and make Kirksey and Schobert and Collins compete harder, then they need to do it. Competition brings out the best in everyone, and I think that's what – and you can't go wrong with having depth. And also, Collins, he can opt out after this season. So not saying that the Browns should look for his replacement, but, it's nice to have an insurance policy just in that scenario that if Collins were to leave, the Browns have a guy waiting in the wings like a Kizer or Van Der Esch or Jefferson.
Yeah, Collins has had a very hard time staying on the field as well. So that is a definite thing to think about as well, heading into this draft. But I think you hit on something there. There's this linebacking class is very deep, both inside and outside. I think, when you get down to 33, 35, pick 64, you're going to be able to find some incredible value in terms of linebackers. With all the other positions, I think you're going to see some of these linebackers fall into the second round, into the third round. But, the Browns don't have a third round pick anymore, thanks to the Tyrod trade. But, that pick 64, I think there's a definite possibility that you can get a really good linebacker at that spot. One guy that definitely won't be there, who probably has the capability of going top 10, is Tremaine Edmonds out of Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is finally going to break their long streak of not having a guy picked in the top 50. It's been 33 years since that happened. This guy is definitely going to be top 15, top 10 maybe. Tell me about Tremaine Edmonds and, if he's a possibility for the Browns.
Well, and I hate to do this all the time to you, but they had a quarterback that came out of Virginia Tech like 17 years ago who was the number one pick.
Hold on. I read it wrong. Top 50 pick at linebacker. My bad.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to say, you forgot about Michael Vick.
I left out just that small little detail that said linebacker.
Much like the other guys, just another athletic monster. He ran 4.5 at the combine. 6'4", 253 pounds. Fits the mold of an ideal pass rusher in today's NFL. They have him projected as an outside linebacker, but they say he can play defensive end. Didn't put up real big sack numbers at Virginia Tech. He only had 5.5, but he led the team. Just a knack for getting tackles. Back to back 100-yard seasons. Was an all-ACC guy, one of the finalists for the Butkus Award, which if he didn't win it, that just tells you with his numbers how deep the linebackers in college football are and how talented they are. He's got a great frame, got good instincts. He still needs some fine tooling, but he occasionally leaves holes for other like running backs or whoever's got the ball to make plays, and that's kind of a concern, but he does have some strong upside. He's got great potential going forward. It's like you said, he's going to go top 10. I've seen him. I think Daniel Jeremiah has him ranked as one of his top five prospects in the draft, which just goes to show how talented he is. Kind of goes under the radar because he was at Virginia Tech and they weren't one of the top programs this year, but Edmonds is definitely talented. I think I had him go on top 15 in this draft on my last mock draft. So I definitely can see what makes Edmonds so talented. And I think he's going to be great wherever he ends up in the next level.
Well, I purposely saved the best for last, and that would be Roquan Smith out of Georgia. You know, this guy was all over the field in the national championship game. He's a guy I would absolutely love the Browns to draft and stick him at a linebacker for the next 10 years. You know, I think it could be a possibility at four. You know, we do have Joe Schobert, who did a phenomenal job this past season. But I would absolutely love, you know, there's, I've said it before, there's like four or five guys at pick number four that I would absolutely love the Browns to have, and Roquan Smith is definitely one of them. To you, what does what stands out to you about Roquan Smith?
Just that he is, you know, he's a man. The one thing, and I've said this about other guys, it's a magnet when he gets to the ball. He's a professional already. He hasn't even become an official professional. He's smart. He's a motivator. He holds himself accountable. Great work ethic. You know, Kirby Smart compared him to C.J. Mosley, who Kirby Smart coached at Alabama, who's gone on to have good success with the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, he sees that in Roquan Smith, another athletic freak. 6'1", 236 pounds, runs a 4.5 40. All SEC first team, was the defensive player of the year. We know how talented the SEC is altogether. 10.5 tackles for a loss, which shows he can get right back there in the backfield and stop the ball carrier from making a big run. And we know how talented those running backs are in Alabama as well. 5.5 sacks. He can pass rush pretty good for being a middle linebacker. And, you know, just an all-around great linebacker. You know, if the Browns took him at four, and I don't know if they would do that per se, I would love the pick. Big Roquan Smith fan, would come in. And if he makes Collins or Kirksey expendable, I could understand it, because having him in that linebacker core, or even if he made Schobert expendable, having Roquan Smith on the defense with Myles Garrett, with Ogbov, you know, it would make our defense scary. If we drafted him or Chubb, I think our front seven would be one of the best in the NFL with those three guys alone. And I think, you know, he's going to be one of those great linebackers that they talk about now, like a Urlacher, like a Ray Lewis. I just think he brings it all together. Is an all-around linebacker, all-around good person, and that's the kind of people you want on your football team.
You know, this is one of those cases where, you know, obviously the Browns need a quarterback, and that's why they're picking number one. But if they didn't need a quarterback, I would absolutely love to draft Roquan Smith and Bradley Chubb at one and number four, because you put those two guys on this team with this defense, it would absolutely be something special. But unfortunately, we need a quarterback. It would not be right if they didn't take one at number one. So, unfortunately, you're going to only get one of these guys. So, there had to potentially grab only one of these guys, you know, Roquan Smith, Bradley Chubb, who we've still yet to talk about, and we will here in the future. That's going to probably wrap it up for this episode. You know, that's 12 prospects for you guys. We're getting closer and closer to the draft. We're getting closer and closer to hitting that 100 prospect mark that we set out when we decided we wanted to do 100 about halfway into it. After we realized that we had a ton of guys that we wanted to discuss. I guess that happens when you have five picks in the top 64. There's still plenty more to discuss. The NFL draft is right around the corner. We're almost 3 weeks away from the draft, so it's coming up. I didn't forget anything, right? I started to wrap up, and I
you you didn't forget anything, but I just seen something interesting come up on Twitter as we're recording that I do want to discuss with you.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Okay. If you guys don't know who Rod Blum is, he's the senior writer for ClevelandSportsTalk.com, which is a good site. He also has a Sunday Funday podcast where they talk Browns, which I will actually be joining them after the draft to discuss the draft. He said that he heard Schefter say on ESPN that don't rule out the Browns taking a quarterback with the first pick and also the fourth pick. What do you think about that?
I think it's very smart. Hear me out, because they would obviously take a quarterback at 1 and 4, and they would trade one of them. I fully expect them to take Sam Darnold at number one. I think that much is a given. And I would expect them to take the best quarterback left at number four, whether that be Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen or whoever, and expect a bidding war to ensue for said quarterback that they draft. There's the Broncos, there's the Bills that want a quarterback. I guess the Patriots might want one. You have the Dolphins as well.
The Cardinals.
So if you take a quarterback off the board at number one and number four, and I fully expect quarterbacks to go 1, 2, and 3. If you take one at four, there's a big drop-off from Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, to Lamar Jackson, Mason Rudolph, and others. So I would say if quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3, and you take the last best guy at number four, there's going to be a massive bidding war, and the Browns at that point can only win by doing so.
I would hope it ends up like that. I just hope it wouldn't be like, oh, the Browns took two quarterbacks and then no team would want to deal with us because we did that. But it's an interesting scenario. If the Browns walked away with Darnold and Allen, I think everybody would be like, well, they got their top two guys. Let's just keep them and see what happens. I wouldn't do that personally, but I like your idea. If the quarterback's sitting there at four, pick them and hold a bidding war for a lot of future draft picks that keeps this team competitive for a long time, but we'll see. There's a lot of rumors. There's 22 days till the draft, so a lot of interesting things coming out today. So, and you're going to hear a lot more in the next 22 days, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't believe everything you read. There's a lot of smoke that's getting thrown out there right now, and, just be careful. Don't get too attached to one idea that comes out, because it's probably something sent out by a GM to make us think otherwise. So, there's a lot of that going on around the draft. So, this is when it's fun, because we get rumors like this where the Browns can take a quarterback at number one and number four. As we get on out here, you want to go ahead and plug everything you're doing. I want to say Believe Land Sports, but that's wrong. It's now TheNorthCoastSports.com.
You're right. It is TheNorthCoastSports.com. Check that out. Write a lot of stuff about the Browns, the Cavs, the Indians. Been doing that a long time, so check out all my work. There's, I think, over 400 articles there for over my 4 years of writing, so check that out. I have a new podcast. Thanks to Anthony for coming on to be my first guest. It's the North Coast Sportscast. You could follow that account at NC Sportscast. The podcast is available on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and soon to be TuneIn Radio once they get that approved. So go ahead and check that out. We did our first episode the other night, and it went really well, and I hope you guys all like it. And stay tuned for more episodes on there, and follow me on Twitter personally at jmccurryCLE, and my Facebook page, facebook.com/TheNorthCoastSports.
Yeah, just to give you guys a little bit of preview of what we talked about. We talked about some of this. We talked a little bit of Tribe. So, as always, you can follow 1085 Gridiron on Twitter, at 1085 Gridiron. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/1085 Gridiron. You can always follow me personally at AndyJoki, J-O-K-I, on Twitter as well. You can find the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Overcast. There's a whole bunch of different options for you guys. You know, whenever you do check us out, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, if you like what you hear, subscribe to our podcast. We absolutely appreciate it. Leave a comment. Give us a rating. We absolutely appreciate it. You know, we want to definitely thank you guys. You know, over the last few days, we've gained like over 100 followers on Twitter. So that's something that's been going on. And, you know, we thank you for that. We've been gaining a lot of likes over on Facebook. So we appreciate all the support that you guys are giving us. You know, we try to put out some good content for everyone. And we hope you all enjoy it and like to hear what we have to say. As always, as we get on out here, I'll leave you with this, as I do with every episode of 1085 Gridiron. Go Browns.
Leftovers or the DMV or house cleaning or Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.